Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Tesvav in Avodah Zarah, page 15. We are on Yudal Amud Beis, and we are continuing along in the Masechta. Avram Avinu learned Gemara. You knew that, right?
Of course.
There's no question about it. Gemara may not have been published until about the 5th century, but Avram Avinu, living a simple 2,000 years earlier, for sure, learn Gemara. Amar of Chista, Rameir, Amar Adekel. In the Mishnah that we were learning yesterday, I'm sorry, we're in the middle of the Amud on Yudal Amud Beis on 14b, and we are finishing up on what we discussed yesterday. The Mishnah that we discussed yesterday, the Mishnah talked about items which are used exclusively for idolatrous purposes, and year round you can't sell it to a non-Jew, to an idolater. And the list of things mentioned in the Mishnah are strange things, but fruit from the cedar tree, white figs. Only with the stems on them, white chicken, and Rabbi Yehuda added, Rabbi Yehuda, not now, we did that yesterday, and then Rabbi Meir added a couple more things to the list. Rabbi Meir added a good palm tree, a chatzav, a niklam. Okay, those are things you cannot sell to an idolater. All right, good. We did most of the Gemara yesterday that revolved around this Mishnah. We have just a little bit more to go. Rabbi Meir Omer, in the middle of the Amud, we're at the two dots. Amalei Rav Chista La'avim Gemiri. We have the following tradition. Avodas Kochavim de Avraham. How did Avraham's Masechta Avodah Zarah look like?
Huge.
So Dalid Meos Pirkei Havian. So it was made up of 400 chapters.
Wow.
Okay, compare that to our Avodah Zarah. Now we're learning of Avodah Zarah. We're so far now 2 weeks into the Masechta. And we'll be here together in Avodah Zarah for approximately another, right, what is there, 75 Dapim in Avodah Zarah. Okay, so about 11 weeks together, 10 weeks together in Masechta Avodah Zarah. Okay, good, so a little over 2 months we're going to be together in Avodah Zarah. So Amar Avinu had a Masechta of Avodah Zarah that was not 5 chapters long, which is our Masechta, but rather 400 chapters long. Now, okay, aside from the, you know, what were the names of the Parakim, right? Who is he learning it with? Or aside from all that, but the basic idea of the Gemara, the simple idea of the Gemara, is that idolatry was even more prevalent during the time of Avram Avinu than it was during the time of the post-destruction of the Bais. The Romans, which is really our Masechta Avodah Zarah, and the idolatry that the Mishnayos are dealing with, is really the idolatry of the Romans, right? And the pagan culture of the Roman. That's mostly what our Masechta is dealing with. Right. Obviously, we're talking about Dinim Daraisa, the Isra of Avodah Zarah is one of the big three, but the actual Avodah Zarah is dealing with the Avodah Zarah of the Romans. Of Avram Avinu, who lived in a time of idolatry where the entire culture was designed around idolatry, there was just more idolatry to know. So he had 400 chapters in his. V'anun Chamisha Tanan. And, he continues, V'lo Yadina Mai Kamrin. And meanwhile, we have, but now, everything is relative. We just have 5 chapters of Avodah Zarah. That's it. Tiny. And I don't even know what's going on here. In our 5 chapters of Avodah Zarah. Now, I could say this, by the way, very easily. I really have no idea. But for Rav Chista to say this, I have no idea what's going on in the Masechta. You know, in other words, he's obviously frustrated with some of the things that we're learning here, just simply not knowing what we're talking about. So, Diktani Rameir Omer, and what's his not understanding of the Masechta? Obviously, his not understanding is a much better not understanding than my non-understanding. But what bothers him? Well, my Kasha Diktani Rameir Omer Avdekel Tav Chatzav Niklam. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir adds, right, good palm tree and Chatzav Niklam. Also, live Kolov Dikocham. Dekel Tavu Dolo Mezavinan. Hadekel Bish Mezavinan. Look. In the Mishnah, it seems very clear, Rav Meir's got a problem with selling new palm tree, or a good palm tree, dekel tav. Well, that would mean that if it's a dekel bish, if it's a bad palm tree, that you could sell, to an avodah zarah, to an idolater, v'hatanani, mochan lehem, b'mechub l'karka. And meanwhile, I'm so confused, because we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, short couple days from now, you're not allowed to sell property to a non-Jew, to an idolater. Okay, lo sechaneim, we'll talk about it not today, we'll get to it in a couple days from now. You're not allowed to sell property to an idolater.
That's only in Eretz Yisrael.
We'll reserve the discussion. In the meantime, however, I'm just confused. As we learned in Baba Basra, when you're selling a tree, you're selling really real estate. Okay, that's not always true. There are exceptions where you can sell a tree and not the property underneath it. We did discuss that, but generally speaking, when you're selling a tree, you're selling the property underneath it. So I don't understand what Rav Meir is talking about. You cannot sell a good palm tree to an idolater, but a bad one's okay. What difference does it make? We're talking about trees. We're talking about property. There's a general prohibition to sell property to an idolater in Israel. So I don't understand. And these are, and all we got is just five chapters, and you think I'd understand what's going on here. I don't get it. So I'm going to lay my dekotav, Paris dekotav. So the correction over here is that you made a mistake. You assumed that we were talking about the tree. We're not. We're talking about the fruit of the tree. Okay? So that's where your mistake was made. V'chein amar Rav Huna, Paris dekotav, chasef kashra, niklas. Okay, and Rav Huna, when elucidating our Mishnah, says basically the same thing. We're talking about the fruit of the tree, not the tree itself. Ki also Rav Dima Amar Rav Chama by Yosef Kuraita. We're talking about Kuraita. Kuraita Rashi writes is a type of fruit. Fine. Amalei Abayla Rav Dimi Tanan Niklas Velo Yadiinan Mahu V'Atamat Kuraita. So Rav Chama by Yosef. Sorry, Abaye says to Rav Dimi, look. In our Mishnah, the Mishnah said one of the things Rav Meir says he can't sell is niklas. Okay? And now you're telling me that's karaita. That's great. I don't know what karaita is. So you're really not helping me. Right? The Mishnah says niklas, I don't know what that is. So now you tell me it's karaita. Oh, good. No, it's not good. I don't know what that is. V'lo yadina mayu. So, maya hanat lan. So how did you help us? Like I don't even know what you're saying. So Amalei Hanu Lechud Dechiaz LaHasam. So he says, look, here's what I'm going to. I'm helping you a little bit because now the Mishnah says the word Niklas. I'm telling you that Niklas is Karaita. Okay. And now what are you going to do with that information? You don't know what Karaita is. Okay, but still Dechiaz LaHasam. When you go there of course being Israel because we're learning the Babylonian Talmud. So Kiaz LaHasam. When you go over there, Amart Lehu Niklas. So you say the word Niklas, and they're not going to know what you're talking about, which is interesting, by the way, because the word Niklas is the Lashon HaMishnah. So I'm not sure, in Eretz Yisrael, where they're learning the Mishnayos, right, they don't know what Niklas is either. All right, but anyway, Amarlu Kuraita, but then you're going to tell them the word Kuraita, V'yada V'kamach V'lach. But there, they speak Kuraita. They know what that is. So you're going to go to Israel, and you're going to say the word Kuraita, and like, oh yeah, Kuraita. Oh, come here, let me show you. And they'll actually point to whatever fruit it is that is called Kuraita, and you'll get some help. All right. Adkan, that's the end of that first sugya. And we finish off that sugya today. Now we start the new Mishnah, and we get into today's daf. Machem shenagu limkor behem adakalov de kochav and mokrim. Machem shenagu shalol limkor ein mokrim. The animal world in the world of the Mishnah is divided into basically two categories, large and small. Okay, it's an easy division of how to view animals. It's either a large animal or a small animal. So, okay, sheep, goat, anything you'll find at the petting zoo. Okay, those are small animals. Cows, oxen, bull. Okay, those are large animals. Horses. Those are large animals, okay? It's a simple classification. We don't have to remember our ninth grade biology. We're okay. That's the simple way that the Mishnah breaks up our animal kingdom, big and small. Okay, now, as far as big animals are concerned, you can't sell them to a non-Jew. You didn't know that yet? Okay, we're going to learn that in the Mishnah in just a moment. Large animals you can't sell to a non-Jew. Why in the world not? We'll discuss that momentarily. Okay, but right now the Mishnah starts off with small animals. Small animals, can you sell them to a non-Jew? Says the Mishnah, it's a minug. Depends on the minug. Some people have the minug not to sell small animals to a non-Jew, and some people do have the minug. So it depends where you live, right? And maybe that will determine where you're going to move to, right? You want to move to a community where they do sell? Good. So that's one of the questions you're going to ask the local Rav. What's your minhag over here? Do you sell small animals or do you not sell small animals? And you obviously have to follow. Right. And you follow the minhag amakom. Good. That's the story with small animals. The obvious question: What's going on over here? Why would there be a minhag not to sell small animals? Now, large animals. That discussion we're going to have in just a moment. What's the issue of small animals? So look at the third Tosfos on the Amud. Perish mishum chashash revia va'avar lifnei iver. Okay, we're going to learn. This is going to be a big part of today's discussion. It's going to sound a little bit strange, obviously, but it's one of the main issues that was going back on in those days. It still goes on today, but I don't think it's prevalent as back then. And that's bestiality. Okay, the idolaters back then. And their time period were engaged heavily in Mishkav Behema, in bestiality. And so therefore, when it comes to the small animals, so you sell a small animal to an idolater, to a non-Jew, and basically you're in violation of Lifnei Iver. Because basically you're going to give them something they'll be nechshol. It just, the temptation for them is too great. They'll be nechshol, they will stumble, and you have now aided and abetted somebody in violating a prohibition. As we've already established in the beginning of the Masechta, this Lifnei Iver applies to both Jew and non-Jew. Meaning you're not allowed to facilitate any human being to violate an Isser. For a Jew, there are 613 mitzvahs. For a non-Jew, there's 7. But a bestiality is one of the 7. So you're not allowed to facilitate by you selling this non-Jew the small animal. So you are now in violation of Lifnei Iver, facilitation, and you cannot do that. However, what's clear from the Mishnah is that this is not universal. In some communities, they were, I guess, not as prevalent in bestiality. And so therefore, in certain communities, it was accepted minhag that you could sell, because that doesn't necessarily mean that the purchaser is going to be engaged in Mishkav Zachar. Okay. Maybe, but I guess over here it's even one, meaning not even if they're shepherding, if it's just one animal, that still would be a prohibition. Okay, that's the first part of the Mishnah, and good. We'll come back to that a little bit later on. Uvechol makom, back to the Mishnah, ein mochrim lahem behem agasa. But when it comes to the world of large animals, you cannot sell a non-Jew large animals, period. Agalim, v'sayachim, shleimim, v'shvurim, and calves, sayachim, foals, right? Shleimim, v'shvurim, whether the animal is complete, whether it's a broken animal, maybe it has a broken leg, doesn't matter. Rav Yehuda mati b'shvur, Rav Yehuda says it's okay, a broken animal, a limp animal, lame animal, you're allowed to sell. Uben b'sera mati b'sus, and the opinion of Ben B'sera, maybe Yehuda Ben B'sera, right? Okay, he allows the selling of a horse to a non-Jew. Okay, the Mishnah does not give us any explanation whatsoever in terms of why in the world would you not allow to be selling a larger animal to a non-Jew. What's possibly the issue? Okay, so the Gemara is going to have a lengthy discussion about that, so stay tuned. In just a short while, we're going to start with the Gemara's discussion of what's that issue all about. Okay. Lememar di Yisur Aleka Minhagahu di Ika.
Question mark. What? Just back to the Mishnah. Why are they quoting Ben Bissera in a Mishnah? They usually don't quote him in a Mishnah. Is that?
We never find that?
I don't know. It's like.
Oh, you gotta do a search before.
Google search.
Yeah.
But it's like, is it unusual to.
I don't know. You know, I appreciate you think of me as some sort of encyclopedia, but.
No.
I don't know. Okay. Lamemer di Yisur Aleka Minhagahu Deika Hecha Denag Yisur Naog Hecha Denag Heter Naog. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah, let's start with, again, the Gemara always follows the Mishnah chronologically in an organized fashion, so we're going to deal with the small animal issue first. And the small animal issue, says the Mishnah, is Minhag. Some communities have the Minhag, some communities do not have the Minhag. And the Gemara says right away, really? Minhag? That's what, this is all about Minhag? And if the minhag is to sell, then you do. If the minhag is not to sell, then you don't. Reminu, the Gemara says, I'm not following. Ein ma'amina behema bepunda goshal of dekochavim mimnesha chashudin al ha-revia. So we're going to learn a Mishnah in about a week from now, Daf Chav Beis, and the Mishnah there says that you cannot use their stables to park your animals, right? Their stables, meaning the stables of an idolater, to park your animals. Why? So here the Mishnah spells it out. Because they engage in bestiality. So this idea of Mishkav Behema, clearly from the Mishnah coming up later on, it was super prevalent. In other words, the assumption is that they do engage in this type of behavior, and you can't do anything that really will tempt them. And parking your animal in their garage and in their stable, so that's going to be a problem, because they're choshed ala revia, because that's the kind of behavior they engage in. Okay? Our Mishnah, meanwhile, says, well, it's minug. Meaning, from our Mishnah, the sense that you get is that, no, not everybody. Not all the idolaters engage in bestiality. Some do and some don't. And if you live in a community where it's prevalent, and the minig is not to sell, you know, you don't sell. And if the minig is you do, so then you do. So, but that Mishnah over there in Daf Chav Beis seems to be much more concrete, black and white. We don't. We don't park our animals in their stable. So I'm a Rav, so Rav gives a very straightforward answer. Makom she'hitir limkor hitir liyached. Makom she'asur liyached, asur limkor. So Rav says, okay, just put the two Mishnahs together. Yeah. That Mishnah, Daf Chav Beis, is talking about in an area where bestiality is very prevalent. So that Mishnah is speaking specifically about where it's makom shenagul shelo limkor. The minug in that community is not to sell. And if the minug is not to sell, that's an indication that they are entrenched in their behavior. They are engaged in bestiality at a common rate. And so therefore you can't park your animal in their stable. However, if you live in a community where it's not prevalent and the minug is you're allowed to sell small animals, so then you would be allowed to park your animal in their stable. That's Rav's approach to how to synthesize the two Mishnayos. Okay, Rav Elazar Omer. Rav Elazar disagrees. Afamakam shasul yachid muto limkor. Okay, I can make a distinction between this Mishnah and that Mishnah. Okay, this Mishnah over here is talking about sale. The Mishnah on Daf Chav Beis is talking about parking your animal. Okay, and there's a difference, says Rav Elazar. And what's the difference? My time obikocham chasa behemto shalote akir. Okay, Rav Elazar says, look, when you sell him the animal becomes his. He'll be inhibited. He'll still have a desire for bestiality, but he'll be inhibited from performing bestiality with his own animal. Why? Because it ruins the merchandise. Because when you commit bestiality with your own animals, there's a good chance that you will sterilize, in the act of bestiality, you will sterilize the animal. Once the animal becomes theirs, that loss of that possibility of sterility will lead to an inhibition. It'll prevent him to a certain degree from going with his taiva, from going with his desire. So and then good. So that's our Mishnah. So our Mishnah is talking about sale. So some communities, it really depends. It's not as objective. They do have a temptation, but they can resist it because when you sell them the animal, it becomes theirs. The Mishnah, Daf Chav Beis, it's your animal. And so therefore, there's even less inhibition. What are they worried about? They're going to get caught? Apparently, as awkward as that is, as embarrassing that is, that's not such an inhibitor. Right? And it's not their animal, and they're not worried about sterilizing the animal. They may come to sterilize it, but so what? It's not theirs. Okay. So that is Rav Elazar's explanation of the two Mishnayos. Vav Rav Hadar Bey. Rav, when hearing this pshat of Rav Elazar, said, you know what? Better pshat than my pshat. Rav left his own pshat and entered into the pshat of Rav Elazar. And I understand to a certain degree it is somewhat of a better pshat because really that Mishnah Daf Chav Beis really makes no distinction. Right? And meanwhile, our Mishnah says minog. So it seems to be that Mishnah over there is unilateral. Our Mishnah over here is obviously not unilateral. So Rav says, you know what? Rav Elazar is a better pshat. Okay, and now we turn to our big discussion of today, and that's the second half of the Mishnah. And that is that you're not allowed to sell large animals to a non-Jew. Period. Period. Okay, that's what the Mishnah says. Nothing to do with minug. It's just prohibited. Okay. A number of you are going to think to yourself, we follow this mission nowadays? So that's a fair thought, okay? Never heard of it before, okay? I mean, how many people do we know are owning large animals? But, right, we've been around and do we still follow it today? So reserve that thought, that's a good thought, but we'll come back to it later on. What's the reason? What's behind the Mishnah? You're not allowed to sell a large animal to a non-Jew? My time. So that's exactly the Gemara's question. Let's have an understanding. Okay, so as far as Revi'ah is concerned, as bestiality is concerned, so we're not concerned. Right? Rashi writes over here, based on what we just said in the Gemara, because look, when you sell them the animal, it becomes theirs, and they're going to be inhibited. Now, even at this stage of the Gemara, what difference is there between the small animals and the large animals? Meaning, we did advance the same argument by the small animals, and yet by the small animals, we still said that there's a minug, some places have a minug, not to sell. Okay, so I'm not sure. I'm raising it as a question. I'm not sure why, by the small animals, there still was this minug of not to sell, but it existed. But primarily, principally, when you sell them the animal, they don't want to sterilize the animal by committing bestiality with it, so therefore they can resist their own temptation of bestiality. Fine. So that's not the concern. So why can't you sell? So the Gemara says, because they're going to do, the animal's going to be doing work. So the Gemara says, so what? V'navid, kevin de zavna, kanye. I don't understand. So good, so sell it to them. So, and let the animals do work. It's true. When the animal belonged to you, the animal had to be Shomer Shabbos. Right? It's true. The Shvitas Bamta. Your animal cannot work on Shabbos. It's a biblical prohibition. It's a daraisa. Your animals, you cannot work your animals on Shabbos. Fine. But once you sell the animal doesn't belong to you. So the animal, you know, animal never changes status. All the animal did is change ownership. New ownership. Non-Jew now owns you as an animal. So you don't have to be Shomer Shabbos anymore. So what's the issue? Gzera mishum she'ela mishum schiras. So the Gemara says, maybe it goes like this. Maybe the concern is, well, if you sell the animal to a non-Jew, you know, in other scenarios, I could see you renting the animal to a non-Jew and lending an animal to a non-Jew. And now listen carefully, because here it's going to get a little tricky. And if I rent the animal to a non-Jew, or if I lend the animal to a non-Jew, it's still fundamentally your animal, and the non-Jew is going to work with it on Shabbos.
And that's a problem.
And that's a problem, because now he, you, right, you're violating an Isser of Shvitas Bamto, because it's still your animal, and the animal is going to be working on Shabbos. Okay.
But if it's rented, no.
Okay, so this is now the first big issue that we're going to be tackling today is, wait a second. If you're renting somebody something to somebody, whose is it? Who's the possessor of that item during the rental period? Is it the person renting, or is it the owner, the owner? Okay, so, right, so the sentiment is, what do you mean? When you're renting it to somebody, for that point in time, it is the renter's. He has certainly all the liability. Something happens to it, he's responsible for it. So you can make the argument that during that rental period, it belongs to the renter. We're not going to say he owns it. He doesn't own it. We know who the owner is. But still, as far as who to assign it to, who to credit it to, I assume that if you're liable for it, you have all the liability, you have also all the benefits as well. And
does this go back to the argument you have made, or have you ever heard of the renter being a Shomer Kelim or Shomer Sahar?
Well, no, because in the same Gemara, we are discussing both the renter and the lender. So it's not really, right? The Gemara is having that, the two discussed simultaneously. So it's not, you know, it's not that kind of discussion of what kind of custodian is he. The Gemara is really discussing it across the board. Uh-huh. And even when you lend it, the Gemara says, all right? So again, we could be asking the same question. When you lend something to somebody, during that period of loan, whose is it? Again, we know who owns it. That's not the question. But who do we assign it to? Who do we ascribe it to? Again, it's the same basic discussion. The person who's borrowing it, the borrower, has all liability. He's totally on the hook. Something happens during that period of She'ela, he's totally on the hook. So the Gemara goes like this. So the Gemara says, Shela Kanya Va'agra Kanya. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. When you lend something and when you rent something, it is the borrower and the person renting, it's theirs. So basically, you're fine. You, the Jew, owning the animal, you should be fine, because the animal, at that point in time, for the purposes of Melechus Shabbos, of Shvitas Bamto, you're not on the hook. Ella, so we're still stuck. And the question on the table is, I'm not allowed, the Mishnah teaches me, I'm not allowed to sell a large animal to a non-Jew. And the question is why? Okay? And right now, at this point in time, we don't have an answer. El amarami barei de Rabbi Yeva, gzera mishum nisyuni. So the Gemara says, well, we're worried about the test drive. Okay? You go over to a non-Jew. you look at him and you say, I'd like to sell you an animal. The non-Jew says, really? How is it on gas? Right? Is it gonna, right? How much mileage does it have? Is it gonna break down on me? I need to test drive it. Okay? And so what he'd like to do is give the animal a test drive. This is what's called nisyuni. Nisyuni comes from the word nisayo, which means a test. I want to test it out. I want to see how it's going. Now, follow carefully, because this is, we're going to construct a somewhat of a bizarre scenario. Friday afternoon. Now, Friday afternoon, I know you got a lot on your mind, but you have a sale opportunity, so it's hard to pass up on. So you have a non-Jew coming over to you now. It's late Friday afternoon. Excuse me. And he's coming to you, and he says to you, I'd like to buy an animal from you. Okay, fine. But wait, hold on 1 second. I want to test it out first. And you're now starting to sweat, and you're starting to perspire, because Shabbos is coming, and you, one Shabbos comes, you can't make the sale. And fine, test it out. Okay? The Amalei Tanas Yaniale. So he says to him, okay, go try it out. Go see how it is. V'shamalei lekale. Now, he gives him a test trial, and you know what? Shabbos is coming, I'll tell you what. Keep it over Shabbos. You want to test it for 24, fine. You want to come back to me after Shabbos, that's also fine. Now, Friday afternoon now, sun sets, right? Shabbos is here. And here you are now, basically, the animal's still yours, because you didn't sell it yet. The only thing the non-Jew is doing right now is giving a test run.
Working it.
V'shamalei lekale. Now, the animal hears your voice. This animal has been trained, has been guided unto you for all these years. He hears your voice. V'azle mechamte. And he now will run back to you on account of hearing your voice. And now we're on Shabbos. V'nichalei detezol. V'hamvalei mechamer acher behemto b'Shabbos. And now it is pleasing to you that the animal walked. I guess because now it's instructive to the potential buyer. Look how this animal responds. And you just violated the Isser of Mechamer. Mechamer Acher Behemto B'Shabbos. And we know the Gemara Shabbos tells us, HaMechamer Acher Behemto B'Shabbos, Chayev Chatas. This is an Isser de Araisa to perform the Malacha of Mechamer. Okay, a lot to discuss over here. Now, Mechamer, the word Mechamer comes from the word Chamor, which means donkey. But that's not Mechamer in this context, it's a verb. It means basically to guide your animal on Shabbos. You are not allowed to guide your animal on Shabbos, even by voice. Even if you don't physically touch the animal. But if you give instructions to the animal, and the animal follows your instructions, your voice-guided instructions, that is an Isser min haTorah. This is what's called Mechamer.
Somebody owns a dog, can't say, sit down to a dog on Shabbat.
Some yes, right?
Wow.
Really? That, I mean, that makes sense what you're saying.
That's a question.
It's not a question. It's a statement. Okay.
But it's not a malacha. But isn't it more almost like
it's a command?
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Correct. Right. Sid is not a right. Sid is not a good. Right. He's right. It just intuitively, I knew that wasn't right, but it, you know, he got me because no. Rashi writes right. Look at the Rashi. Rashi is very clear over here. Mechamer lo shayach lemeimer ela bebehema teuna masui. Mechamer is only true if the animal's carrying a burden. Upamim shenosin ala masa lenasosa. And look, remember, the non-Jew is giving the test run. Im oleches yafe v'havalei mechamer b'Shabbos, and that's mechamer on Shabbos.
It also makes sense because on Shabbos, you know, Jewish, a farmer is able to feed his animal.
Right.
In the course that he's going to be here.
Right.
He has
right.
To
okay.
So without this,
mechamer
is like okay to do it.
Right. Now, Tosfos raises that issue. Right. That's it's here. It's somewhere here in the world of Tosfos. Like Tosfos raises that issue because
what issue?
The issue. Right. Stuart's saying, why is the Gemara? Why did the Gemara get to the point of mechamer? Meaning he's working your animal on Shabbos. Right.
That's worse.
I don't know if it's worse, but that's an Isser. That's an Isser also on the Torah. That's Shvitas Bamta.
But isn't he like if he's working on isn't he like a shoel while he's doing it?
Yes, that's right.
It's not a dumb
rice. Right, but he's correct. But he right. The Shvitas Bamta is not as harsh as Mechamer. And that's why the Gemara points out that with Mechamer, It's the Yechayv Chatas. In other words, the Gemara wants to punctuate that Mechamer is such a serious Isser that you're Chayv a Karban Chatas, which means that it's a Malach HaShabbos. It's interesting, by the way, because it's not one of the 39 Malachas on Shabbos. Right? And meanwhile, you're Chayv a Karban Chatas. Mechamer is interesting. It's a unique Malacha on Shabbos. It's not part of 39. It doesn't compartmentalize into one of the 39 malachas. And meanwhile, if you do it on Shabbos, you are chayav karban chatas.
So why not called it 40 instead of 39?
Right. Okay. Because it's more about the animal than about you. It's just strange. It's just a unique iser of Shabbos. And Shabbos, the Gemara in Shabbos talks about this as well. Okay.
In this case, the guy just his voice. He didn't ask the.
And that's part of the Isser Mechamer. Isser Mechamer is even if it's guided by voice. If the animal,
if the person doesn't have any intention for the animal.
That's why the Gemara said
it's indirect. It's
that's why the Gemara said nichalei. If you go back to the Gemara, you read the Gemara carefully. The Gemara says v'nichalei de tezel. In other words, if it's inadvertent, I absolutely agree with you. I think the Gemara would be absolutely in agreement with you. That's why the Gemara writes Benichale. It's pleasing to him because now he gets to show off how good this animal is going, even while laden with whatever burden it has.
For sure, but the other thing, some of this, how do you ever get to the Pinchas Majar story?
Right. All right, because
he says you don't want him anymore.
Correct. All right. The Gemara later on will. Gemara later on we'll talk about some Amarin did sell. Okay, that's
so
all right.
Leading the animal would be with a burden on it.
Yes,
not just
yes.
Walking.
Correct. No. Walking is fine. Okay, so that's where the Gemara takes us. Now you understand that, and this is going to be a little difficult at this stage of the Gemara. The entire prohibition, which our Mishnah is talking about, of selling an animal to a non-Jew, is all born out of the fact that you'll have this scenario where he's coming to you on Friday afternoon. He's asking you on Friday afternoon, before I buy it, I want to test drive it. And you say to him, okay, fine. And they go through a test drive. And then it just happens to be that the sun sets and on Shabbos, he hears your voice and the animal responds to your voice. And it's, right? In terms of Gzeira D'Rabbanan, usually it's intuitive. We say to ourselves, yeah, I understand that. And over here, it's kind of hard to process how an entire Gzeira D'Rabbanan comes out from this one scenario. Okay? The Gemara is not raising this issue. I'm raising the issue. It's just difficult to understand how an entire Gzeira comes out from this one scenario.
They also could have made it, they also could have been a bit samsem very, very easily by just saying, don't sell it. It's got to say Ereshav.
Right. Correct. So already intuitively, if you think about it, you realize at this point, like, the sense should be, this can't be it, right? I'm not saying the Gemara is, I'm just simply saying intuitively, you have to understand there has to be more to it than what the Gemara is presenting, because what the Gemara is presenting seems to be insufficient to explain an entire Gzeira. Okay, let's move on. Maskev l'Rav Shisha b'Rei d'Rav Idu, Schiras Mikanya. Now, we come back to what is a fundamental point of today's daf, and that is, let's go revisit this question of, when someone rents something, whose is it? When someone borrows something, whose is it? Now, you'll remember that up until this point in time, the Gemara's assumption was, it still is property of the owner, and it still is assigned to the original owner. Not to the renter, not to the borrower. So the Gemara says, but that's not true. Uschirz mikani v'atanan, af memakum shamar laske lo labeis dira, amru mimnei shemachnis esocho avodis kochavim. I'm sorry. Let me read that mission again. Af b'makom sharmu lahaskir lo lebeis dira amru mimnei shemachis lesocha avodas kochavim. You can't rent out any one of your apartments, any one of your houses. You can't rent it out to an idolater because he's going to bring idolatry into your house. Okay, follow. He's renting, and the Mishnah in Psachim says, it's also a Mishnah later on as well, it's your house. Well, whose is it? Right? Well, it's very clear from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, well, he's bringing idolatry into your house. You're the renter, and meanwhile, the Mishnah is saying, it's still your house, not the one who is renting it. V'isa gadach hasir, schir's kanya, hai kama ayol, abesa kama ayol, I'm sorry, Hakamayla Beisei Kamayla. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, if you're maintaining the Tzchiris as a Kenyan, that when you rent something, you become, for the time of the rental, you become the owner, he's not bringing idolatry into your house, he's bringing idolatry into his house. So the Gemara says, don't use Avodah Zarah to prove one way or another. Ashani Avodah Kochavim Dechamire. No. We will always maintain that when you're a renter, for the time of the rental, it's yours. That's what we'll maintain. And Avodah Zarah is just so unique and so machmir, it's such a stringent level that it's just not, it's not a good way to test any particular theory. Don't bring any abomination into your house. In other words, by Avodah Zarah, what does that mean, don't bring an abomination to your house? You mean to tell me that there's a prohibition in the Torah not even to allow idolatry to come into your house? Can you give me another Isser in the Torah where you can't bring the Isser into your house? Does that exist? Chametz on Pesach can be brought into your house. You can't, you can own it. In fact, I challenge, most people in this room do have chametz in their house on Pesach.
But it's been sold.
Okay, exactly. Exactly.
Ideally.
What, exactly.
Why don't we raise the issue of Marat Ayin in this case, in terms of, we have raised it before, in terms of if the guy is borrowing it, tested, or...
I understand, but right now, the Gemara is just making... The point the Gemara is making is, it's Avodah Zarah is just such a unique category, where the Torah says you can't bring it into your house. You don't own it, it's not yours, you're not bound to it. You still can't bring it into your house. It's just so unique. It's so bizarre. So Avodah Zarah cannot be used as a testing ground for any principle in the Gemara. Notably over here is, when you rent something, is it yours or not yours? Avodah Zarah is just not a good case study.
Well, I don't understand. If it's still not your house. You're right. So Avodah Zarah is a machmir, you can't bring it into your house. But if it's not your house, it's not your house.
Okay, so...
It's saying that it's not even, you can't bring the Avodah Zarah to your house, but you can't, house that you have any connection to.
Correct. Right. Correct. Right. Correct.
Which kind of makes sense intrinsically if you think about it.
All right.
You can't sell it to an idolater, which is not going to be yours anymore. All right. I guess it makes sense.
Right. Right. So Maske Flor Yisrael Breder Mishashi Eschirus Mikanya V'Atanan. Okay. Yisrael. Let's turn to another Mishnah. Mishnah Truma. Yisrael Shesachar Par Mikoyin. Ya'achilenu kashine truma. Okay. You know that a Kohen is allowed to eat truma. You know a non-Kohen is not allowed to eat truma. In fact, if a non-Kohen eats truma, it's a chiyuv misa bidei shamayim. Okay, fine. An animal of a Kohen is also allowed to eat truma. Okay, sure. It's like called miknas kesef. Anything that is owned by the Kohen, anything that is possessed by the Kohen is allowed to eat truma as well. Good. So an animal of a Kohen is allowed to eat truma. Says the Mishnah Trumas, let's say you are Yisrael and you rent the animal of a Kohen. The Mishnah says you could still feed the animal Truma. Okay. That's an excellent indication that even though you're renting, it still belongs to the Kohen. That's an excellent indication. And let's go the other way. Kohen Shesachar Par Mi'Yisrael, Af HaPi Shemezonos HaLav, Lo Ya'achilenu Karshinei Truma. Kohen renting an animal from a Yisrael cannot feed a Truma because during the time of the rental, Kohen's allowed to use the animal, but it's not the Kohen. It's not miknas kaspo. So the Kohen cannot feed a truma. Okay, fine. The Isa, and the Gemara spells it out over here. Isa gadacha schiris kanya, amai lo yachilenu paridideyi. I'm sorry, yachilenu paridideyi. Elish mamina schiris lo kanya. Okay, so schiris is not a kinyan. Okay. Schiris is not a kinyan. Now, let's go back to us. Schiris is not a kinyan. So that means that when I rent my animal to a non-Jew, does the animal have to keep Shabbos? The answer is, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because renting does not create an acquisition. Renting assigns them rights to the animal, but renting does not make the animal his. The animal's still mine. So good. Now we can go back and now we can revisit our Mishnah. And now we don't have to hang the entire gzerah on the on the Friday afternoon test drive, right? V'hashadam at schiros lokanya gzerah mishum schiros gzerah mishum shelo gzerah mishum nisyuni. Good. Now we could say that I'm not allowed to sell animals to a non-Jew because of sheela, schiros, and nisyuni, lending, renting, and the test drive, right?
But those selling, where's the renting coming here? Mm-hmm. Selling it now.
No, that's exactly the point. The sale by itself is fine.
Right.
Because that's a kinyan. That's a full transaction. But if I sell him the animal, then the next step is I'm going to rent him the animal. In other words, remember last year I sold an animal to a non-Jew. What's the difference? I don't see the difference. So if I sold the animal, I'll rent the animal. But meanwhile, there's a big difference because rental does not create a transaction. Rental only allows them rights to the animal, but the animal is still fundamentally mine, and my animal will be working on Shabbos. So because of that, the Chachamim said, you know what? When it comes to these large animals, nothing. No rental, which is prohibited in the Torah. No lending, which is prohibited in the Torah because of the Shabbos issue. And consequently, no selling. Okay. Now we have a much broader understanding, a somewhat better understanding of why the Gzerah. And by the way, I'm just spelling out the obvious. This doesn't apply to smaller animals because small animals don't work. Meaning that when we're talking about Shvitas Behemta, your animal has to rest on Shabbos, right? These large animals, your mule, your ox, your cow, right? Those are the animals that you're gonna weigh down with all your with all your load and have them walk with all your load. But your goat, your sheep, you're not gonna put anything on them. Okay. It's the halacha, but again, you never heard of it. I never heard of it. Right, we'll have a discussion a little bit later on what happened to the Isser, which the Mishnah says straight out. Rav Ada, Shor Lizvuni Chamre, Aide de Saf Sira. Okay. Rav Ada found a heter. He allowed the sale of an animal through a Saf Sira, through a middleman. Now, Rashi says straight out, Ida de Saf Sira. Ayidei Sirsur Yisrael, the Hamocher Nami Yisrael. Seller's a Jew, middleman's a Jew, and he allowed the sale through the middleman. Okay, now why did he do that? In other words, we have a Gzeira, which we learned in our Mishnah, and meanwhile Rav Ada says, okay, you can't sell it to a non-Jew, but once you give it to a middleman, you give it to a broker, that's okay.
But he's a Jew.
Imishum Nisyune Halo Yada Lekale. Because look, we know what the Gzera is all about, and once we know what the Gzera is all about, here the Gzera doesn't apply. Okay, now we get onto a very touchy issue, right? And that is, here you have a Gzera de Rabbanan, as we're learning right now. Right? The rabbi said you're not allowed to sell animals to a non-Jew. And now through the Gemara we learned the reason behind the Gzera. And now what Rav Ada is saying very clearly is because I know the reason behind the Gzera, if the reason doesn't apply, the Gzera doesn't apply. Okay? We don't always say that. Sometimes what we say is that once there's a Gzera, that's it. The Gemara may afford a reason to us, may pacify us a little bit by giving us some understanding of what the reason behind the Gzera is, but sometimes we just simply say it's a Gzera, and that's it. And there's no room for, well, I know why it is, and let me get my way around it by, you know, not getting onto the not violating the reason behind it. And here Rav Ada is saying, I know the reason, and as long as I can circumvent those reasons, so then we're all good. Okay? So it's obviously a very touchy issue. It's hard to know when the reason provided by the Gemara is it, or, you know, the Gemara is not giving us all the reasons. Okay. You'll see in Avodah Zarah, we touch on this issue again and again. By Bishul Akum, well, we don't have time for this, but by Bishul Akum, this is another big one, right? Bishul Akum, why can I not eat food cooked by a non-Jew? So the main reason given is because it leads to intermarriage, chasnas, right? We'll learn this later on, actually, in the Lamas, in the late Lamas, we'll learn this, right? What if intermarriage is not a problem, right? What if the food was produced for you by a big corporation or by an industry? What if it's mass-produced? Right, that you're going to worry that you're going to marry intermarry with, right? It's, you kind of lose the reason over there. So again, it over there, same issue that comes up amongst the Rishonim. If I can circumvent the reason, so then do I have to follow the Gzera? So that's what's going on over here as well.
Why would we allow brokers?
Oh, so the Gemara is going to spell it out. Look, because if you're worried about the test drive. What happened in the test drive? He heard the voice of the master, and the animal ran as a result of the master. If you're selling it through a broker, the animal doesn't recognize the voice of the broker. Okay. They're called the Azim Echamte. The Imishum Shale of the Schirus, Kevin Delo Didei, Lo Moshe, Lo Mogir. And also, look, the broker's not going to lend it. The broker's not going to rent it out. The broker's only going to do one thing, because that's what he was commissioned to do. And that is sell the animal. So him selling the animal is not going to lead to either lending the animal or renting out the animal. Okay, va'od, v'shom delo nigle be'momah. And also, and if he rents it out or if he lends it out, you have a chance of the animal getting hurt. He doesn't want that to happen. He'll be so even more preventative. It's more inhibited for him to rent or to lend it out. So therefore, we're not worried. There's nothing to worry about. Okay. Rav Huna zaven ha'ipar lo v'kochavim. Rav Huna sold an animal outright to a non-Jew. Okay. Whoa. Okay. Rav Anda did it through a middleman and explained himself. Here's the reasons why it's okay to do it through a middleman. Rav Huna just straight out sold an animal, specifically a cow, to a non-Jew. Amalei Rav Chista, my tam avad marhachi. What are you doing? You just violated the mission. What are you doing? Amalei aim l'shchita zavna. Well, you know what? I know I just sold them an animal, and I know the Mishnah says you're not allowed to. But in this particular case, he wants to shech the animal. I know it, and because he wants to shech the animal, so right, we're good. We're all good. He's not going to work the animal on Shabbos. None of that. Right? He's going to shech the animal. And so if that argument advanced by Rav Huna is such a great argument, why the Mishnah didn't think of that? Rashi, the bottom Rashi on the page, right? Emel shechita zavna v'talina lakula. O masnisin bebehema temea afil bestama. Inami b'tahar v'mefarish leo v'kachavim delikiyume kai. Well, maybe the Mishnah is talking about where he tells you he's not going to shech the animal. Right? Well, okay. Uminat tamra, top of the next amud, da'amrina ki ay gavna. Okay? Do you have the right to do that? Meaning, do you have the right to ascribe an explanation in terms of why he's buying it from you? I know that the Mishnah says you're not allowed to sell it. I'm not worried because I know that when I sell it to him, he's going to shecht it. No problem. Can you do that? Did not. Look, I have a Mishnah in Shemitah, Mishnah in Shviz, and the Mishnah in Shviz seems to be really clear that it's okay. Can I sell an animal during the Shemitah year? Beit Shammai says, no, you can't. Why? Because Beit Shammai thinks that if you sell an animal during the Shemitah year, the buyer of it is going to use it to plow, and you now have just aided and abetted somebody violating the Isser of Shemitah, of the Shemitah year. And Beis Hillel says, no, that's fine. Because when you sell him the animal, he doesn't have to plow the animal, he could shech the animal. So in other words, you gave him something not exclusively used for a prohibitive activity, could just as well be used for food. It's fine. There's other possibilities. So Beisul Matir Min Meshech Chol Shochta Amar Rava Midami. So Rava says that's a terrible comparison. Hasa Midan the Mitzvah Al Shvitas Behem To B'Shvias. Hacha the Mitzvah Al Shvitas Behem To B'Shabbes. Look, during the Shemitah year, right? Your animal doesn't have to rest during the Shemitah year. Over here, there is a positive commandment, right, that or a negative commandment, that you must make sure that your animal rests on Shabbos. So when you are selling the animal to a non-Jew, that'll lead to rental, it'll lead to lending, and as we've already established, there's no kinyan, it's still your animal, and you now have violated the Isser of Shvitas Behemto. So you can't compare the Mishnah Shvitas where there's no Isser, as opposed to over here where there is an Isser. Okay. We'll pause over here. There's no good stopping point right now. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we will move on to a discussion of this issue of when I give something to somebody and there are multiple possibilities of what he can do with it. Some of those possibilities being prohibitive activities. Some of those possibilities being permissible activities. Am I allowed to do that? Can I give him something with those multiple possibilities? Okay? That'll be a big discussion. That'll be the rest of today's daf, which we'll finish off tomorrow.